Hallelujah. Can you tell that something has happened in Gary? Can you tell? I'm telling you. Something's going on. I'm excited. It's like my Bible is new again. I mean, all these old verses, but now I'm seeing them with different eyes. You know, and I'm going, when did they put this in here? When did they put that in here? Oh my goodness, you know. And, you know, I think it's really going to be like that with when the real revival breaks out. I think it's going to be just like the 4-minute mile. I'm going to say it again because not everybody was here. See, we're from that generation. We remember when the 4-minute mile was just an impossible barrier. I mean, people would even write books about it. No man will ever break the 4-minute mile and all of this. And they tried over and over and over, get close, but nobody could break it. Nobody in history. Think about it now. Reminds me of the church. No, since the book of Acts. Okay. Nobody could break the 4-minute mile, and then when one person did it, there was an avalanche of people doing it. I mean, it was like nothing. Everybody broke the 4-minute mile. All they needed was an adjustment in their thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Okay, I think what's going to happen, we're going to break into revival, is little adjustments are going to happen, and everything that seems so impossible is going to be exactly like what God told me years ago. We'll look back on these days before that, and we'll just laugh that we ever thought it was so hard. Won't that be great? You're going to be a happy camper that you stuck around. You're going to be a happy camper that you kept doing the message, you know. Well, go ahead and open up to John 17 just for a moment. So many verses are just... Again, just even some of my favorite verses that I've known forever and taught on, and it's not like they were, you know, like it was wrong what we taught, but it's just like kindergarten. You know, there's kindergarten math, there's high school math, there's college math, and then there's math geek math, you know, and it's all true, and it's all math. But there's a level of understanding that comes as you mature, let's say it. In the things of math, you must mature in your understanding. Okay, well, back up to John 16. Since he said it that way, let's start here. I can relate with Peter. I think most of us relate with Peter. You know, Peter, he was the one that was, everybody else was too holy to ask the questions, but Peter would ask the question, you know, we've left everything to follow you. What will we get out of it? See, we like Peter, you know. We relate with him. So he's the one that I picture. I know Jesus was talking to all of the disciples, but I picture Peter listening to this. Now, Peter has been following Jesus for 3.5 years. He's heard every sermon. And you know, Jesus repeated many of those sermons town to town where he went, and Peter's heard them all. Heard everything. I'm sure he loved it. I'm sure he was so glad that he had followed Jesus, the miracles and everything that they've seen. But then, one day here, close to the cross, Jesus says this, John 16, verse 12. And I'm trying to picture Peter listening. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. And I'm stop for a minute, and I'm Peter. Man, the things that I have heard Jesus say, no man ever spake like this man. I mean, the things he's learned and heard, and now Jesus is going, I have so many more things to say to you, and speak on, Lord, you know, yes, come on. He said, well, trouble of it is, somebody says, come on, I can take it, and that's not the issue. He says, because what he says, it's not that you can't take it, you can't bear it. You can't comprehend it, you can't receive it. And Dave said it would be very much like when, say, Tawny, when she was 4, if she got into the big old pickup that he drives, the Tundra, you know, big full-size pickup, and her little old legs there, she's sitting in the driver's seat, and he says, all right, now just drive this truck down to the grocery store and get a jug of milk and come back. It's not that she wouldn't understand it. It's not that she wouldn't want to do it. But her little legs will not reach the pedals. There is no capacity for her to do what he was saying. Well, that's exactly what Jesus is talking about here. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Can't stop there. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he will take of mine and show it unto you. So I'm Peter, and I don't know what's coming. We're on this side of the new birth. We understand the new birth and the Holy Spirit's ministry, and we understand those things. But in Peter's time, he doesn't really understand all that. And he's going, Lord, I'm standing right here. Speak on, Lord. I can understand it. Let's say it another way. I can bear it. I can receive it. Can you hold your place? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We will come back to John 17, hopefully. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You got to remember that Paul was the one who led these Corinthians to the Lord in the first place. He was the apostle that brought Christ and him crucified to Corinth. And these were people were the fruit of his ministry. So he says here in chapter 2 in the beginning, he says, verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you. Verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, in other words, when I first came, I did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And see, for the unsaved person, let's say it another way, for the natural person born of Adam, with a spirit of death on the inside, I don't care how much they love God with their mind, there's only one message for the spiritually dead man, and that's Christ and him crucified. You cannot receive, you cannot bear the true things of God as long as you are a genuine earthborn spirit of the world. You're from a different kingdom. You're from a different, I hate to use the word dimension. You're from a different realm. What you can comprehend is based on the universe you were born into. That's good. That's the way I said it. I said it good that time. What? I have to rewind that. No, they can't. It's framed by the universe you were born into. It's very much like when I do that Flatlander example. The Flatlander guy with the dilemma of the hula hoop, those of you that seen it, he needs to get to the center of that circle. But he can't. To him, that's an impenetrable wall. It's like a fortress. There's no openings. There's no breaks. It goes to the sky to him. There's no way he can get in there. And he can't even think of the concept of being lifted over. There's no concept. You can't think height in that universe. God, that was another good way to say it right there. You can't. See, we are serving the God who does exceeding abundant above all that we can ask or think in the natural realm, not with your spirit mind. You can think it now. That's the point he's making here. See? So he tells them, he says, now go down to verse 12 and he'll show you the difference between them and us, between Peter in John 16 and Peter later after he got saved and baptized with the Holy Ghost. Okay? So in verse 12, he says, now that we've been born again, now we have received not the spirit of the world. Let's say it another way. Not the spirit of Flatland. Okay? Not the spirit of the 3D world that we're familiar with, the world you were born into as a child of Adam. We haven't received that spirit again. That spirit and that mind can only really comprehend natural things of the universe that it was born into. But we, now that we have received not that spirit of the world, what have we received? The spirit which is of God. And they got it right, a little S. That spirit that's on the inside of you is not from here. It is from there. Hold your place right there. We're coming back. Now go to John 17. Jesus was speaking by faith. He was prophesying. He was speaking before the cross, prophesying of the truth after the resurrection. And he's literally, this is the calling in the lost service, he was literally calling those things which be not as though they were at this point. None of these people were born again yet, yet look what he says about them in John 17:16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Well, let me ask you, on that side of the cross, were they? Sure they were. They weren't born again yet. What's he doing? This little known concept called calling those things which be not as though they were. Same thing he taught Abraham. Same thing he teaches us. Okay? So he's already calling it. He's saying, they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. He's prophesying or actually calling into existence that which has not, it's not even possible yet because he hasn't been glorified yet. But this is what he's saying about us. And this is what Paul is saying over here. And just pinch those together. We'll probably be back and forth. So back over to 1 Corinthians 2. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. You are no longer of this world. They thought you was crazy. They thought you weren't normal. They didn't know they were paying you a compliment. You're not normal. You're not even from the same universe. The real you is not from the same universe as those people that think you're so strange. You are strange. You're a stranger from another world, another realm. You're an alien. That's exactly right. Alien, you know. But see, only after you have a, let's see, I'll say it another word. This, the life that was in, okay, first, the life that was in you when you were born of Adam, was conceived in this universe. When you get born again, the life that's in you was conceived in God's universe. Can I say it that way? God's realm, God's, the spirit realm where he lives, wherever that is exactly, the one that created all of this. The real you is from there. But we have, for the most part, sat under teachers that are from here. Thank God for Pastor Dave, who taught us diligently and lovingly that there is a teacher that's been given us from that other realm that we're truly from. But see, this, and it's so clear to me now, and it has been, but it's even more crystal clear why tongues. That mind that you have, that we have, the soul, the intellect, the memories, the emotions, all of that, that is still from this world. And God preferred, now he can talk directly. Remember those, take you back to those thrilling days of yesteryear. Y'all remember when Dave would give this example, how God would prefer to talk directly to your spirit because your spirit is of the same class and it can receive these, your spirit is like the hard drive of a computer. And it can receive megabytes per second, many megabytes. He said your soul is like the monitor. It can only pull up one screen at a time. You know, you remember that? One. So he takes us back to Taxi. Remember Taxi? Y'all, many of you are too young to remember. There was an old TV program called Taxi. And one of the drivers on there, he was a burnout old hippie. We loved that guy, burnout old hippie guy. You know, he like woke up one day, you know. So what's the last thing you remember? Hate Ashbury, dude. Hate Ashbury, you know. Well, that was this character. And in one of the episodes, he was taking his driver's test, you know. And he was always really slow, this guy. And so he's taking the driver's test. He come to a question he didn't quite understand, you know. So his friends are out there, and he opens the little booth where they've got him taking his test. He pulls the curtain back, and he goes, "What does the yellow light mean?" And they go, "Slow down." So he goes, "What does the yellow light mean?" It's Danny DeVito, you know. You know, Danny DeVito. "It means slow down." And he goes, "What does..." They've had us rolling. I'm telling you. But it's funny, but that is so absolutely true. God didn't send that teacher to teach your brain. He sent that teacher to teach your spirit. That's why he had to create a language that bypasses that earth head thing. And he wants to communicate with his son. And your son, I don't care, male or female, there's no such thing in him. He wants to communicate directly with you. And he created a language where the Holy Spirit can teach us spirit to spirit. Oh, that method is much faster. Dave says he received the born-again trail in a millisecond. It took him how many years to preach it out? You know, boy, your hard drive, your spirit can receive a lot of information. I love that. We hadn't done that in a while. That was fun, wasn't it? All right, verse 12 again. Now that you're born again, we've received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? Why was that so necessary? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, up until this point, God has done a lot of renewing of our mind. We already don't think like the world when it comes to sin, when it comes to parties, when it comes to so many things, you know. We're changed. We don't think like that. But now what he's calling us to, if we're going to really walk in revival, he's saying, I've got to educate you above there. Because the physics of the realm you're birthed from as a new creature are different than the physics, the natural laws that are in this world. And get this, the physics of that realm where we're really from overrule the physics of this rule, of this world. So, you know, Jesus, and again, Jesus' first thought wasn't turn water into wine. His first thought, I think, was, Father, what do you want to do? But in order to get it across to me, the Holy Spirit started, you know, when he's getting me going down this vein, he's going, now, Gary, when they run out of wine and your mother turns to you at the party, says they're out of wine, trust me, even at 67, what mama says, Gary, son does. She says, well, they're out of wine. Do something about it. My first thought would be, and again, here we are in church, but I'm going to say it anyway, where's the nearest liquor store? I mean, where can we buy wine? Because my thinking still, my default at this point is normally natural thinking. My default is going to have to, your default is going to have to change, Father. Father, what's the plan? Father, what do you want to do? Because if we don't start doing that, yes, sir. How many have not heard about the lipstick on my finger? Let me say it that way. He's calling us to obey him in order to have miracles, no matter how embarrassing. No matter that our natural brain does not understand it. A year ago in Ocala, when I went down there to preach, I'm standing in front of this really refined, nice little southern lady, every hair in place, all snow white hair, probably my age or a little older. Just one of those, you know, just perfect little, I bet her house is immaculate and everything's in its place type of person. Well, I'm standing in front of her just going to do a Gary prayer. And the trouble of it is the Holy Ghost got involved. And the Holy Ghost says, put your finger in her mouth. Yeah, huh? Woe is right. Yeah, uh-huh. What do you think? Now, on the outside, I'm trying to exude confidence. On the inside, the conversation was something like this. God, are you crazy? I'm not going to put my finger in this lady's mouth. That must be a devil. Is that it? I rebuke you. Is that God, is that really you? I don't even... What? You want me to do what? Something like that. Okay. I was going to ignore it like most of us have been doing. I knew I was at the right church, okay? Like most of us have been doing, I was going to ignore that. But he said it again. And I've been studying along this line and promising him I would obey him. So I started halfway apologizing. Lady, I'm so sorry. I'm just trying to obey God. And I'm trying to get her permission. She doesn't know what I'm hearing. I'm going, is it okay with you if I obey God? She goes, sure, but she don't know what he's saying. So get this picture. I'm standing here. There's people watching. I take my left hand and I get her chin and I open her mouth. Take my right hand. Take my finger. Whoop. She gave me frog eyes, like, you know. Yeah, oh, Jesus. That's what, same thing I was praying. Oh, Jesus. I'd like to say that the heavens opened and lightning flashed and I heard the thunder roll and she fell out into the spirit and four angels walked through the wall. I'd like to say all of that. You want to know what happened in the natural? Nothing. Nothing. I just took my finger out, thank you very much, prayed for the next person and wanted to get out of Dodge, you know, just get out of here. We did wind up going to the IHOP later. She always goes after, you know, every year. And I was still halfway apologizing. She said, oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it at all. I said, I'm just trying to obey God. You know, don't worry about it. She said, we was eating, you know, at the IHOP. She noticed my, she said, you might want to wipe the lipstick off your finger, though. Well, fast forward 1 year, go down there this year, and she, well, her granddaughter was graduating from something. It's graduation day the same night that we're going to be there, so she couldn't come. But she sent a special offering by the pastor. She said, be sure you let Gary know that for 10 years I have had chronic sores on the inside of my mouth. But since last year when he put his finger in my mouth and prayed like he prayed, those sores have been reduced by like 80%. But see, my thing with God was, God, what about the later? What about the other 20%? Was I supposed to swirl? Now, see, in the natural, this makes no sense to me at all. Why in the world would God need me to put my finger in this lady's mouth? Well, why in the world would he need Jesus, from this morning's message, why would he need Jesus to spit on the guy's eyes? I let him in practice. Because God's going to start using you in the gifts. So I'm going, can you spit? Here, everybody practice. Can you... You know, yeah. See, we read past that and like, oh, isn't that nice? Like he's not going to ask you to do it. One of them, he spits and touches the guy's tongue. Okay. And your natural brain is going to have trouble right there. Your natural brain, see. But if we're going to start doing, if we're going to start doing like Jesus said we're going to do, the works that I do shall you do also. Well, if he had to do those things to obey the Holy Ghost, who is it? Looking unto who? The author and finisher? That looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we've got to start getting our mind right and get down off our little pride horse. You know, I'm not too proud to do it. And if it helps the lady get healed, glory to God, you know. So, verse 12 again. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The longer I'm in this, the more I appreciate Pastor Dave, who broke all of these for us. You remember Chuck the duck? Comparing spiritual with spiritual. Chuck was raised by chickens. Here we've got in churches all over the world, we've got creatures from another world. I want to say they've been raised by chickens. That's right. Well, they are. They're sitting under the pastorate of a chicken, trying to make them into chickens, when they're not chickens at all. They're ducks. They're creatures, they're a whole different creature that operate by whole different laws. But we've set and been taught we're chickens and eat chicken food. You know? Well, I'm about ready for some duck food, you know. Spirit food. Because when he says comparing spiritual with spiritual, remember that duck landed and swam over near where Chuck was looking? He says, hello, duck. Chuck says, I'm not a duck. I'm a chicken. How do you know you're a chicken? That's what the pastor told me. Told me I was a chicken. Told me not to go near the water, too. He said, you're not a chicken. You're a duck. No, I'm a chicken. I have chicken doctrine. I've been to chicken seminary. So the duck begins comparing duck things with duck things. He says, look at my bill. Look, this duck in the water. Look at my bill. You see how it's flat? He said, you notice all the chickens, how their bills are pointy? And Chuck says, you know, I've had trouble pecking worms out of the dirt like they do. They just do it so easy. With me, it's thud, 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 thud. flat bill trying to do it that way, you know. He said, look at your feet. Notice how your feet are webbed like mine. Now, the duck is comparing duck things with duck things. The Holy Ghost, he's comparing, can I say it, Jesus things. Dare I say it more? He's comparing Son of God things with Son of God. You're not an old sinner saved by grace. Yes. That person died. You are born of God's Spirit. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. See how he had the life of God on the inside of him? Yeah. Look at God's Word. What do you have on the inside of you? Well, I've got the very life of God on the inside of me. Look at Jesus, how when he would speak, the Holy Ghost would move. Did you know he's given you that same authority? He says, don't even leave town. Don't try and be my witness until you've been endued with power from on high, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes on you. He's comparing Son of God things with Son of God things, just like the duck. But see, ultimately, the best was that duck was, once he started getting him compared and getting little Chuck to believe it, he says, get on in the water, boy. No, 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 I can't get in the water. I'll drown. I'm a chicken. You're not a chicken. I've been telling you. Well, what God's about to do is get us in the water of doing his works. He's about to get us in the water now. So he gets Chuck slowly and timidly. Chuck finally gets out on the water. And he doesn't sink. He doesn't sink. And they're swimming around. Oh, this is a whole new world. It is a whole new world for Chuck. Then finally, the original duck, he says, now, do what I do, boy. Get right behind me. Do what I do. Flap, flap, flap. Here they go, faster and faster. And the little Chuck is flapping behind the big duck. And them little feet are going. You've seen them, you know. And all of a sudden, the big duck lifts off. And so does Chuck. And that's exactly what's about to happen with the prayer center. We're about to... I've had enough chicken food to last me a lifetime. I am tired of the chicken food. I am tired of having religion tell me what's not possible. People, we're about to lift off. We're about to lift off. We're about to believe that this Bible is true. Just receive it like it's news from home. This is news from home. This is the truth. This is the truth. Nothing else is. See, I laughed when the Holy Ghost said it this way. You probably lost your place in John 16, but let me read it to you again now. Remember when Jesus said to Peter, he said, John 16, verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. I heard the Holy Ghost say one time, this is before I knew all this, I was praying, I heard the Holy Ghost say this, but I didn't really know what it meant. You know why he couldn't bear it? Wrong kind of creature. Wasn't born again yet. He's a wrong creature. Had the spirit of the world in him. From this universe. He's exactly like the Flatlander guy. Can't even think of height. Can't even think of that possibility. We're like that in the natural realm. We can't even think it. But God says, I have given you a teacher. And your spiritual mind can think these things. So we can receive the things of God. That's what 1 Corinthians 2 is talking about. We can be taught, even though we're still living in this realm, we can be taught from that realm, and that's where we're really from. Now back to John 17. God, is this good stuff or what? Can you tell my clock has been wound? My chili has been heated, and it has blown my skirt up. I'm telling you. Woo! Get your skirt blown up. Glory. Anyway. I'm wearing pants. It's a joke, okay? Got to have some fun in church. I can imagine them walking over an event. Woo! Anyway, that's the way I feel right now. I'm all excited, you know. John 17. Look at what he says about us. They are not of the world. Even as I am not of the world, sanctify them through thy truth. Boy, thy word is truth. See, man, that's been one of my favorite verses forever. But it's like old things are new again. It's like I knew that, but I know that. When he says all things are possible, I knew that. Now I know that. Something in my expector has gone off the chart. Ooh, I'm about ready to fly to New York. I'm telling you, I'm about ready. Getting ready to fly back to Long Island. Where is that Tommy? Let me get my hands on that boy. Hallelujah, man. And in verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. Now, he didn't send us to die on a cross for the sins of mankind. Trust me. That job has already been filled. It's already been accomplished. There was only one qualified. So what is he talking about? Lo, in the volume of the book it is written of me, O God, I have come to do thy will. How is it that Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now get this. Yeah, he's in heaven. Where are you from? You're from whatever realm. You're seated at his right hand in the spirit. You are from that realm. We are on temporary loan from that realm to this realm. That's why he had to leave us in an earth suit. You only have authority here. Let's say it this way. You can only exercise authority here if you have a body that's from here. So now, the genius of God, he left us in these bodies, but the spirit, the real us, is not even from this world. We are from that world. So the prayer is, Father, when I say thy kingdom, I'm pointing towards the stage, indicating that's the realm where God lives. Thy kingdom come. In other words, then I bring my hand forward to this realm. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. That is the mission we're on. To demonstrate God's kingdom to a lost world, it's go and preach this gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is at hand, and then we're supposed to demonstrate it. Demonstrate it. And it's all, none of it's for our glory, it's all for his glory. Thank God for the Savior who did all this and made it possible. But he has sent us on the same ministry, the same mission. I started to say we're on the same assignment. We have the same equipment. This is the one I want to throw the iPod out the window every time I listen to the Born Again Trail. And Dave says again about Romans 8, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. That's not the Holy Ghost he's talking about there. It's the spirit of life that you received. The same spirit of life that he quickened Jesus with is the same spirit of life he quickened you with. We didn't get something less. iPod, you're taking away all my excuses. How did Alan do it that time? Curse that Dave. We love Dave. But it's like he's taking away all our excuses. Pull over, go get my iPod. I didn't really throw it. I'm exaggerating. I didn't throw it out the window. Boy, we'd like to think that Paul had more. No, he didn't have more. No excuses. None diminished. We are from that realm with the same equipment. You got the life of that same spirit of life. Now, Jesus was first born with that life also. The same life that he had in him, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Same life. Wearing fallen flesh. Can't blame our flesh. He had on the same. His spirit was from God, but his flesh came from Adam. He's wearing fallen flesh just like we're wearing fallen flesh. And he was anointed by the same Holy Ghost that has been given to us. Flap your wings here. Telling you what. We are about to lift. This side's, what's wrong with this side? Flap your wings over here. Come on. Don't be too proud to flap your wings. Come on. We're going to lift off. Hey, if you think flapping, I know you ain't going to spit in nobody's eye if you won't flap your wings now. Come on. Hallelujah. Or like Superman, just take off. There you go. All right. And look at verse 22. Thank God for Dave Roberson that broke this for us. The glory, John 17:22. We'll finish up here. The glory which thou gavest Moses. I mean, this verse alone will get you tarred and feathered and run out of all the churches that I grew up in right here. They'll read it, but boy, you better not say nothing about it. They'll just read it like, read it. The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. What is that glory? Sonship. He gave us the standing of a son in our Father's house. We are the sons, just like Jesus, the full inheritor, who have chosen of our own free will to serve. We are the serving sons, just like Jesus. Amen. I recommend praying in tongues. I recommend this New Testament. I recommend fasting and prayer. Notice I said fasting, not feasting and everything. We are about to come into our most exciting time. I'm telling you, I'm so excited. I am serious. I believe, I can't prophesy this, but I'm looking for the day that Tommy Perez stands right there. Straight up, able to talk. How about Victoria standing right here, able to talk, running and having a good time, and talking about how God walked into her room and just perfected her brain in Jesus' name. Won't that be a day? Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. He says we'll do all of us will do the 4-minute mile. Hallelujah. Amen. That's good. That's real good. All right. Now that's all. I'm out of time. That's enough for tonight. But man, I'm excited about what's coming. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.